Good afternoon, everyone. I hope you had a great bank holiday weekend. And once again, thank you for joining me for May's webinar. This one is slightly different compared to what we've done before, where we've just kept this very generic in terms of top tips for letting and managing your property, more based on the feedback driven from our landlord direct market, those who either use a letting agent for let only or self-manage. Okay, so 15 minutes as usual. My name's Sim Sekhon. I'm the MD of Legal for Landlords, and we are the only provider in the private rented sector for reference in insurances and legal services. Today I'm going to briefly go over the marketplace. I've got around 10 to 12 top tips which I think are essential for landlords market their property and or assistance for letting agents. A quick summary, any Q&As, again, as always, if you ask questions as we go along, I'll try to answer them. However, I will save the rest to the end. And we have a small prize giveaway as well to conclude. Okay, so let's just look at the marketplace in general. This is as it stands now. So currently, as I read actually this morning, over 2 million landlords in the UK are now submitting that an additional revenue stream as part of rent to the HMRC. So that's 2 million that are actually submitting that. So obviously some people may not even know they need to do it. So we're looking at a minimum of 2 million private landlords in the UK, which obviously has grown a huge amount in the last 10, 15, 20 years. So that first stats from the HMRC. The second one is over 160,000 tenancy agreements are written per month. Now that could be a new tenancy agreement or a renewal tenancy agreement. And that stats from research carried out by a couple of online agents. So again, that's a huge amount of tenancies changing hands every single month. Now this third one I thought was quite interesting. So this is from the CML, so the Council of Mortgage Lending. So in Q1 this year, January, February, March, we lent, well, they lent in terms of the mortgages, almost 15 billion, and that's up 92% from last year, Q1 as well, which is huge. So it doesn't show an enormous recovery in terms of the buy-to-let, in terms of where we used to be from the 90s, 2000s, but it does show a massive increase, as you can imagine, from year on year, which is obviously only promising for everybody involved in the sector. Average tenancy duration, that's 18 months. These following stats are from Arla. 18 months now, that was on average. That was based on a furnished and unfurnished property, but as you can imagine, a furnished property will be slightly less, and a furnished property will be slightly less, and an unfurnished will be slightly longer. In terms of demand, there's an average of 5 viewings per property let. So I'll come on to why I've mentioned that point there later on. Average rent within the M25, more like central London really. That's £12.90 per calendar month. And if we take out central London and inside the M25, and then the rest of the UK, you're looking at £7.60 per calendar month. However, different regions can be a lot less. And some areas can be obviously a lot higher as well. So that's just a general overview and snapshot of the marketplace currently where we're at now for the sector. So just to go through some top tips then from our perspective, from consensuses, general feedback, speaking to our letting agents, best practices, and any landlord customer service that we might carry out, all of these came back as the top ones. Now they may seem obvious, but there's obviously each one of these points, you could probably spend half a day talking about the pros and cons and why it is to get each one of these correct. So we'll start with the top one, understanding the target tenant. So, considering their age, where they work, if they drive, public transport, the position of the property. Everything about your property needs to be aligned to the tenant in order to attract the right type of tenant for that property. This example, there's no point having a double driving space if there's no local commutes, there's no local transport, and if the tenant hasn't got a car. Otherwise, it'd be pretty much of a waste of an advert. It's not saying that tenant's not suitable. It's just you're trying to picture a perfect tenant going into your property. Therefore, you need to understand what type of tenant does that property attract. And similarly for the second point as well, comparing the local rental market and getting the price point correct. There's been a lot of talk lately in the last 12 months over landlords hiking up prices and they're increasing this because costs are increasing, legislation increases, there's a tax changes happening. Stamp duty came in, but again, when I looked at the Arla stats for the last 12 months as well, I think there's been probably about a 4 to 5% increase of rents in the last 12 months. Certain months higher than others. More tend, you know, the peaks come towards the end of the year really. But you know, it's natural, isn't it? It depends on inflation rate and obviously mortgage rates. Each landlord's circumstances are different compared to the others. So there's reasons for price increases, but comparing the local market's key. And obviously, you can use, there's a couple of major portals that you can use for this. Obviously, internet searches, speaking to local agents, any professional agents, get them out to do appraisals. You have to find the right price point in terms of attracting that type of tenant that you're looking for. Third point, insuring your properties on the major portals. Now, for some landlords, obviously, when you advertise, certain portals do not let you advertise those properties. So if you go through a professional letting agent, then obviously you can ensure that your property is getting a lot of coverage in terms of maximum exposure, because you want as many people to see that property as possible in order to avoid that rental void, which all landlords fear, and you want to get that property let out as fast as possible. So ensuring the maximum exposure is definitely a top tip if possible. Fourth one, which I think is a really hard one if you're not really doing this day in, day out, but you need to write a really compelling advert. There's so many times I've looked at adverts and I've just, they're not selling the positives, they're not selling the benefits of why this property should be rented. It's not tailored and it's not linked to that vision of the perfect tenant. You buy a property, you imagine, right, this is the type of tenant I'd like to be in this property. Well, my advert should actually say exactly what I'm thinking as well. So list all your positives. Link it back to your perfect tenant would be the key points here. And a really straightforward one as well, asking your previous tenants, or by what I mean by that is just referrals or recommendations. Your tenants are about to leave your property. Do they know anybody else that would be potentially interested in this? I would say try and avoid dealing with friends and family as much as possible. I'd never say stop it 100% whatsoever, but if I was to go into the legal department here now, and friends and family would be 20 to 30% of all tenant issues that we have. And then incentivizing tenants as well. So if your tenants are leaving, then incentivize them in whatever way possible. A bottle of champagne if they find tenants to move in for me, because then it's somebody that you can trust in terms of they've been a good tenant in your property. And then secondly, they may know other reliable and trustworthy people as well to put forward. Based on their word of mouth as well. So incentivize that by, a bottle of champagne, whatever it may be, because there's potential tenant fees that you have to look at there, and rental voids, and weigh up the pros and cons of both those aspects. Okay, what's the next one? Social media to help advertise your property. Now, social media is a free tool now, so I'm looking at, there's Twitter, there's Facebook. Use social media in a creative way to help advertise. So what you don't want to be doing is taking, poor photos or putting bad descriptions on. Use keywords, be really savvy and clever about it, and don't just pump any picture on there in terms of saying, right, great property to rent because of X, Y, and Z. You do need to put some detail in, and always try and hyperlink it back to one of the portals in terms of if you've listed it on that, and then you can judge the activity as well. You can even use stuff like boosted posts for £5 or £10 just to really drill down on the type of tenant potentially that you're looking for and to really push down. I know a lot of agents do boosted posts on Facebook or Twitter to really generate and drive up the social media and the exposure of, a rental or a sale of a property. So you have to, there's a lot of content to talk over in that one in terms of 30 seconds. But yeah, it's a free tool, and utilize it the correct way. Adding value to tenants. What do we mean by this? Your tenants are really going to be talking about you as a landlord, going to be talking about you as an agent. So the relationship has to work both ways, I think. If you want to include utilities or sky bills or offer them vouchers, then that realistic value of that rent will need to portray this and reflect that as well. So it's huge in the student market in terms of the all-inclusive type of offering, utilities, cleaners, sky. All those bills are all inclusive of the rent, and it seems to make life much easier. But and there's certain some of our larger landlord clients, and there's a few larger letting agents now. They've partnered up with certain companies and offering points and kickbacks or even perks as well. So that's something new, but we see that up and coming now. A really interesting one is floor plans. Now, this stats came from Rightmove actually. Floor plans do actually generate a hell of a lot more interest than an advert with no floor plans. Now, for the sales market, floor plans are pretty much on 95% properties, but you'll be surprised after speaking to a very popular floor planner. They said at least 70% of properties that are to let on the market don't have floor planning, which I was quite really, shocked at really. I think it's a mandatory requirement. Floor plans need to be on every single letting advert out there. The more information that you can give to the tenant, prospective tenant, obviously the better. And photography is one of the most important, really. It's a no-brainer, isn't it? The photos, they need to be, clean properties. There needs to be no clutter in there. Extra time needs to be paid attention to make sure they are clean. Maximize your natural light, open windows and blinds. And, in an ideal world, we'd love to all have a sunny day with sky blue, sky blue, no clouds, but that doesn't happen. But, there is third-party plugins that you can use to clean up pictures. So, that first picture, ideally, is the outside of the property. It has to really grab the attention of the prospective tenant before then they read the description and look at the other details. So there's no point in rushing on your iPhone just to do a quick picture. Last point on this slide is inventories. Now, I think the key thing I put for inventories is it's common sense, really. Avoid any arguments or arbitrations or dilapidations. If you've got clear, concise inventory when you move into a property as a tenant and I've signed off on it, I'd be a lot happier than where I'd move into a property and I didn't have one, and vice versa for the landlord as well. Both parties know exactly where they stand. A fully detailed, photo-catalogued, signed-off inventory by the agent or the landlord or the tenant has all been completed. Therefore, when it comes to the end of the tenancy, then we can use the deposit potentially if there's been any damages or changes to the property, and it makes life a hell of a lot easier for landlords. The easiest thing to do for a landlord is, you found a tenant, you might not have referenced him, you've moved him straight into a property, great, you're starting to earn some rent now because you had a bit of a mortgage to pay. Obviously, that's the worst thing you could do, and you need to follow all these steps in order correctly. Okay, and the last two from our top tips is deposits and tenancy agreements. So deposits, it's still a huge bugbear of mine, but since the law's changed several times now, there's so many landlords that do not correctly register deposits. One being correctly and secondly not registering them at all. So there's free government approved schemes. Some allow you to keep the money and register it by an insurance certificate, and some actually require you to transfer the money over. And also, second point linked with deposits is prescribed information as well, which has to be linked to it, which we've covered in depth on several webinars as well. So if you're unsure about any of that, then please obviously let us know. Tenancy agreements, the most commonly used tenancy agreement is the assured short hold tenancy, and that's for AST for short, and that's for tenancy agreements up to an annual rent of £25,000. So anything less than that, great. Anything higher than that, then we need a different type of tenancy agreement, but most commonly is £25,000 of AST. Make sure it's professionally done. Now, don't just go and download one off the web, off the internet. What I would recommend is using a professional letting agent, and these guys know what they're doing day in, day out. It's up to date legislation wise, and any changes are always kept, and they're always kept to the best of any changes. So always get a professionally completed or selected tenancy agreement, either via a specialist solicitor specialised in this type of law or by your letting agent. EPCs now, energy performance certificates are a part and parcel legislation. They have to be done as well. Gas safety certificates. Ensure any breakout clauses are in there. In terms of a general theme, what we do tend to see is in the north. Well, if we talk in the M25 and outside the M25. In the M25, we generally see tenancy agreements between 18 and 24 months, and there's maybe a 6 or 12 month breakout clause there. Outside the M25, we'd normally see a 12 month tenancy agreement. And the chances are there's no break clauses in there as well. So So there's different types of length of tenancies. Again, it's up to the landlords or letting agents, whatever advice you've taken. And but I would say best practice, don't sign a tenancy agreement for more than 24 months. And if you do so, make sure you have very strong and strict breakout clause as well, because you don't want to be tied into something and not have room for movement in case there's a tenant issue in the future. Okay, so then just to summarise, slightly overrunning, use a professional letting agent. Now, about what I mean by professional, do your research. You want to create a long-term relationship with your letting agent. Any accreditations, ALA or professionalism, check the website out, go into the offices, meet them face-to-face, meet the lettings manager. But I would always recommend using a professional letting agent. Secondly, keep up to date with your responsibilities. Companies like ourselves, we offer newsletters and information like this and webinars. If there's any local national landlord forums that you can go to or council forum meetings, I'd always suggest you visit these just to keep your knowledge up to date. Because ultimately, you're protecting your investment here as well. And it's a long-term game here. There's no immediate quick wins here with tenants and property investment, and that's what you need to understand. Protect your investment with correct insurances. There's a number of insurances out there. We offer builders insurance, rent and legal insurances. But there's a whole raft of insurance that you can protect your property with in terms of rental and the buildings, and not for a lot of money as well. So simple, easy mistake, don't rush in at the first tenant. I said there's an average of 5 viewings per let, so don't just rush in after your first tenant. Think about it, long-term decision, not just the short term, and don't base it on emotions just because you need to cover your mortgage quickly. And ultimately, property investment is a business, it's not a charity as well, so that's what you need to really get into your heads and think about it. My top tip from an investment point of view would be, if I what is the worst case scenario and what would it cost me? So one property rent, the rental value of 750 a month, my mortgage say is 500 a month. Worst case scenario, what would that cost me? Had repairs, boiler issues, no insurances, rental arrears, evictions. Those costs could all add up to, £5,000 to £7,000 very fast. So you have to think about that in your bank account terms. What is your zero balance? And there's a formula that I use, but that zero balance in your bank account should always be protection of worst case scenario. And if it never comes, then obviously great, you've got that capital there or that reserve then to potentially invest in another property. But you look at a minimum of £5,000 there for worst case scenario, and you obviously you cannot touch that money whatsoever. Okay, Q and A's. I've got a few here. I'm just jumping to the questions. So for those of you who have not used this before, there's a questions tab on your screen there. You can just pop a few questions in there and I'll try and answer them. There's a few here already. My property's been on the market for 4 weeks now and it's not been let, but I've had plenty of interest. Yeah, you probably, I think one of the first questions that came through actually. What I would say is go back and review all the points that we've briefly ran over today. It may be something small, your asking price could be too high, or the quality of your rental property may not be up to the standard of other properties in terms of comparables. Your advert might be aimed at a totally different type of tenant, and you've missed something. But the easy thing to do is potentially speak to a professional agent, get their opinion, and get an appraisal completed. Let's pick another question here. What insurances do you offer to landlords? We offer a full range of insurances to our landlords. The easiest thing to do is just go to our website, www.legalforlandlords.co.uk, and hit our insurance tab. There's a good 15 or so there. The main ones are building insurance, rent and legal protection, and then legal protection as a standalone. We even offer emergency cover as well for landlords and for their residential properties. For example, for around £40 a month, we could cover your builder's insurance, any rent arrears, and cover all your legal fees. Yield. Let's touch on this one. What yield is realistic to? Yeah, I didn't really touch on this one in terms of a whole point. Property investment is a business, and the whole reason that we're landlords is because of the long-term gains and our yield value. So the yield is what the mortgage is costing you compared to the annual rent coming in, and then the net yield in terms of percentage would be obviously any costs of running that property. So it could be professional letting agent fees via a letting agent, or repairs, or management fees, or rent arrears, whatever you can encompass in that period here. But in terms of it, realistic, it depends on the number of variables and your overall goal as a landlord. I'd say the stronger you, obviously the stronger the net yield, the better. But anything above 7 to 8% per annum in terms of an average net yield, I think obviously you're doing well, and obviously the higher the better, which obviously that return there is a lot better than your standard savings account compared to this day and age. But it all depends on you as a landlord and what you want out of being an investor. See if we can get one more. Final one, register with the tax man. Somebody's touched on the point that I made with the HMRC. Now, the HMRC obviously have disclosed in terms of a press release how many landlords have actually declared themselves earning multiple income streams from rental property. Just to clarify that point, obviously it's mandatory by law for you to do that, but it's a choice as in whether you should do it or not, because some people don't actually even know that they have to declare that income as well. And there is a certain limit. If it's, I'm not an expert in this area, but if there's a certain income that you receive and that's less than, I think it's, don't quote me, £4,500, £5,000, then you don't have to actually declare that as well. It's only once it hits a certain limit and then you have to start declaring it. Yeah, some people don't. It's what do they call it? Tax evasion, tax fraud, whatever it may be. So hopefully that touches that one. Slightly overran, but if there's any other further questions, please do post them or email them in. And as always, we will get back to everybody within 40 hours. As for the quick prize giveaway, 20% discount on your building insurance for your buy-to-let. So next time your renewal is up, all I'd say is, if you're obviously interested in entering, what's the best tip that you can share with us? And we'll tweet all the tips out this week via our Legal for Landlords handle on Twitter. And we'll select the best one from there and be in touch. So next time your renewal is up, we'll give you a quote 60 days before that that buy-to-let insurance is up. And we'll give you a 20% discount on that as well. So hopefully that will be of benefit to somebody. I'll just give a couple more minutes for everybody to put their answers in. Yep, there's some funny ones here. Okay, I think that'll do for now. So, just to finish off, obviously if anyone needs any information or free advice, please give us a call. Number's on the screen there, and there's our free email address as well. And thank you, ladies and gents, for joining in today. More focused at the landlord market in terms of private landlords, but I appreciate there's a few letting agents on there, so hopefully that was useful to yourselves as well. If there's any other topics that you'd like to hear about or know about, just drop us an email to marketing@legalforlandlords.co.uk, and hopefully we can continue doing these. So, yeah, thanks a lot for your time today. Cheers.